My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports Time Out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle.
Yes, I am.
Hey, Michelle.
Hey, and it's not just me. We may even have some new other of our regulars popping in and out here, but ladies and gentlemen, let's just get right to it. It's time for sports.
Sports. We're kind of lacking today.
What the heck? I'm going to start it again.
It's the My Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live.
Just kidding. It's time for sports.
Sports.
Come on.
All
right. That's good. That's good.
Aaron Rodgers is not my friend.
Oh,
yes, he is now.
This is good. Guys, I'm fresh back from Houston. Great time. I'm wearing this hat because
I
feel
like... will be burned.
What in the world?
I feel like I... Oh, gosh, Josh is going to hate me for wearing this. Here comes Josh.
It's Wookiee time.
As Josh is kind of connecting here, guys... this is the show. It's a different sports show than anything else. What it's reminiscent of, and people have said, it's reminiscent of a girl who has like multiple brothers. She's the only girl in the family. What is it like on a Saturday morning as everyone's eating their corn pops and maybe watching college ball or whatever, or talking about sports of the week? That's what this show is like.
It's the Animal House of Sports, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a mosh pit before we had to do mosh pits over Zoom.
Josh is going to be with us in just a moment, but let's introduce you to who we've got today. We've got the Encyclopedia of Sports, Rich Hallstrom, who is the co-author of Thunder Sports Network.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The Encyclopedia.
We have with us sports writer, sports photographer, moon photographer, coach Brent R. Baker.
Yeah. Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker.
Yeah, there you go. And joining us here and there, we see his name up. So if you're listening, that's why we're referencing Josh. He has a newborn baby in the house. So in between diapers and, maybe falling asleep, he's going to be checking.
He's not sleeping.
Yeah, he's not checking. Cat naps. We have Joshua McMillan. He's our sports authority. You find him on Twitter at Josh Reports Live. He's also our Wookiee, our resident Wookiee of the year, right on cue, Joshua McMillan.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
And I am your humble host, Joshua. It's so good to see you. Now, I know I'm going to get in trouble for wearing this hat.
Yeah, I don't know if you're allowed to wear that. You might have to step down as host. This is the biggest thing since the Mariners front office guy coming out and talking crap about the players. This is a scandal right now.
I think we need to take this Houston Astros hat and burn it in a trash can on the podcast.
With
Jose Altuve's picture on the side.
Mercy. What happened to the God story? Come on.
Old Testament.
Judgment is mine, saith the Lord. This is our message from the Lord.
Sacrifice.
I'm just saying, guys, I'm wearing this because I feel a little bit like a cheater. Going down to Houston during and actually watching a game. I was there watching a Dynamos game on their opening day, but it was the opening day for our Seattle Sounders. Now today we're going to be talking about everything that's going on, but I will do this for you guys. Yes, I will. So I was in the Dynamo Stadium during the opening match of the Seattle Sounders. The Dynamo's won, and man, I met great people who are probably listening right now. Hello to that section up there that welcomed me and bought me a beer and let me be a Dynamo's fan, even though I was wearing Sounders stuff. Oh, that feels much better. I was just decked out with Sounders stuff because you
that's
know,
courageous maybe, too.
Yeah, it really was. But before we get into some really exciting stuff like the draft and what's going on in baseball, so many things to talk about today. I just wanted to give kudos where kudos are. It was a really great week one for MLS. Our usual reverend of sports, Garrick Payne, is not here today, and he and I kind of get into our own soccer tangent. But what I will say, let me see if I can get this display capture up. I don't know if you guys won't be able to see it because this is the way kind of things are set up on our system. This is for our viewing audience, but you'll be able to at least hear the glory of, we might as well just share it, the goal of the week. João Paulo, incredible goal here. Let's make it real big. And if you log on to My Michelle Live, you can watch Sports Timeout. You can see this. This is great.
Straight offside. Alex rolled on in for Rui Diaz now. He's got a couple different options. It's Atencio in there. Atencio weaving through. Christian Roldan got it away for Alex Roldan. His cross. And instead in the middle.
And then boom! I mean, come on! Come on!
That, oh my, that oh ball's my. Like a meteor flaming. Is, you know.
Yeah, that was just glorious. I mean, I could watch it again and again, and I actually have. That was just glorious, and we've got lots happening with the Seattle Sounders, but it's not just Seattle. I know all of us have Seattle ties. There's been good things going on week one, week two. I'm looking forward to LA Galaxy this weekend with the Seattle Sounders on Sunday. So soccer is in full swing. It's a great time of the year. Usually Garrick and I take it on. So unless you guys have anything to say about soccer.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, when they played LAFC on Saturday or Sunday or last weekend. You know, yeah. I think we saw, and I was reading later, saw the price you pay for ignoring your own scouting report. And LA's goal.
Yes, sir.
Yes. LA's goal in the first minute was a complete breakdown of stuff that they knew that they, you know, on that set piece, the guy's going to go low. They all jumped high, left the ground, and boom, they're down. I they were forced.
That's funny. And that's kind of why people, you start seeing people laying down. No, they're not taking a nap behind the guys that they're linking arms with. It's almost silly. I just think that's kind of silly. But they literally, you know, the kick is off, and they literally jump up out of the way. It's crazy to watch because you're going, oh, and you know, that's what they're doing when they're looking back at it going, oh, awkward.
Right,
awkward.
Right. But, you know, you get out of, you get out of LA with a point, so it could have been worse.
Yeah.
And you know, early season, we know the Sounders usually start
and that's
slow,
why Michelle was talking about week one instead of week two. I mean, it was a nice tie, and that's great. Yeah. But you know, we've Champions League, Portland. You know, they had a really nice win in the last few seconds, probably, I think it was. We've seen some great play. So it's going to be fun to see how things really weigh out with this MLS season. We're going to get to the draft in a minute. But Josh, where'd you go, Josh? Are you changing Man, when you have a newborn, you got to change a lot of diapers. Josh, when you're there, I'm going to change hats and let you talk baseball. Anyone else excited?
Oh,
there he is. There he is. All right, Josh.
Had to get my Sounders hat on for you.
Thank you. Do you have anything to say? Oh, we'll get that back on. Do you have anything to say about the MLS season?
You know, honestly, I've had to choose one sport to really follow the games of right now. So it's just been baseball for me. Cause I can listen to baseball while the baby's napping. You know, a lot of her naps have been, well, she's sleeping on my chest and we got a baseball game going. So it's been just baseball for me. I haven't been able to sit down and watch any games yet. So I'm glad football hasn't started yet. Cause I might be even missing football right now, but I'm all baseball, but I am up on the Seahawks news. I can read.
You know, before I do that, while we talk baseball, because you're here, I just want to say special thank you to Minute Maid Stadium for all of the fireworks that they lit off last Friday night while I was there. Thank you very much. That was great. I really appreciate you. Other than that, let's put the right hat on. And Josh, wind him up. Let him go.
Floor is yours, How about this start right now for our Mariners team? They have what is currently the hardest beginning schedule of any team in baseball. They've been going up against teams like the Dodgers, against the Red Sox, against the Houston Astros. And the Houston Astros, by the way, who I believe our record before this year, in the last couple of years, was something to the effect of like 23-4. It was not good.
I think it might have been even worse than that. Four for the Mariners.
Four for the Mariners. It was not good.
A glorious 1-19 against the Astros in Houston. So that was
We doubled our win total from the last few years.
Well, we had the series at home again. We split the series with the Dodgers. We went on the home road, split the series with the first place Red Sox. We took a game off the Astros in that series. We won our series at home against them, even though they were missing a couple of players. This Mariners team, look out, guys. There's actually a lot of good happening around this Mariners team. We've seen this bullpen, who I anticipated would not be a strength this season, but they have had some people really step up. One in particular, Kendall Graveman, has come out. He used to be a starting pitcher for the A's. He's had some health issues, and now he's moved over to the bullpen. He's been lights out in the bullpen, and a lot of these guys have been. They are posting a top three ERA for bullpens over the first couple months of the year so far. It's been really fun. First month, I should say. My baby's only month. She was born on opening day.
Feels like two.
It feels like a lot more. They've been killing it.
She was born on opening day. How appropriate is that?
Yeah, we were in the hospital, so we watched the opening day baseball while we were in the hospital right after she was born. I was holding her, eating
not during
cake.
Labor.
It was right after labor. It was well timed.
She wanted to get out in time to watch the game. That is freaking awesome.
Exactly. Now, there are some things to be concerned about. There is some, and not necessarily concerned, because I'll say this. I love baseball. I love the Mariners. But what I'm finding I hate more and more is a lot of the really vocal Mariners fans. I say in air quotes, because they cannot wait to find something to complain about, or find something to be like, same old Mariners, they lost a game, or they didn't get hits this game, they're awful.
Well, you know what's interesting about that, Josh, is I've done some research on those Mariner fans, and they're all related to Kevin Mather, who does not work for the team any longer.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Let's talk a little bit Major League Baseball and the standings in the American League. We're looking at in the East, you have the Red Sox, I believe, leading the charge, Rays and Blue Jays. Now, Central, Royals, right?
Royals and the White Sox. Royals and the White Sox are in a good
White Sox, White Sox we expected, but the Royals is kind of like,
Right? The Royals is Mariners times two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, come on. Almost.
Not quite. I mean, hey, the Mariners still have, I think, what is the third best in the American League right now. We're sitting at 14-12. We're second place in our division because the Athletics have really stepped it up. They're 16-10. They're on a big win streak right now.
So and they're just ahead of us. We've got 1-2 with A's and the Mariners, Angels, Astros, Rangers.
Yep. Okay. So we're looking really good. We sat in first place for a little while there. And again, this is during the toughest stretch of our schedule this year. And we do have a couple of guys that are just knocking it out of the park that I'm really excited about. Mitch Haniger, Ty France, killing it. Kyle Seager, he's been a little streaky, but he's been coming in the clutch. And utility guy, Sam Haggerty, really has been putting in the work lately. He's found himself in the lineup after some big clutch hits, getting us a couple of wins in there. Now, the rest of the lineup, I wouldn't say it's cause to be concerned yet. You know, it's early in the season. We had a weird season last year. This is their time to kind of ease in. Evan White has not been hitting great, but he's been kind of picking it up.
I'll take his defense all day, Josh.
Oh, my gosh. He is.
Except for two nights ago.
Well, he had one error.
Are you one of those fans? You're one of those fans.
He's a bum. Yeah. No.
But, you know, name a first baseman that plays better defense than Evan White.
No way.
And name. And just let's put this out there. We have three of the best defensive infielders on our team right now in the league, according to the outs that they've gotten above that stat there. There is no other team that has people with plus two in that regard. And that would be Dylan Moore, who's been outstanding defensively at second base, although his bat needs a little bit of help this year. We're hoping he can turn that around like he did last year. And JP Crawford. Our infield defensively is great. And again, those guys, even though they're not hitting great, they have been having good at bats. They've been getting their walks and they're doing the right process. I know that people complain about this too. And people give you the baseball explanation of, oh, well, he has a good process. They do. You know, if they're getting walks and they're out there and they're they don't look completely lost at the plate. You know, like I see Evan White, he's getting his strikeout numbers are getting better and he's making contact. Now he's making contact into outs, but he's making contact. And when you have the kind of power that he has, Scott Servais said it perfectly. You know, he's the kind of guy you take every day at first base. I don't know what his average is going to be, but he is going to be a 30 home run guy with the best defense I've seen in my life at first base. I have never seen someone play first base like that kid plays first base.
Well, they don't have any, Josh, they don't have anybody else at first base, and they should be happy. Mariner fans, real Mariner fans should be happy with Evan White at first base because we know that they rolled out every semi conscious body the last few years at first base to try and fill that hole.
We've seen that Daniel Vogelbach, the corpse of the now retired Jay Bruce. I mean, we've seen a lot over there. And Evan White is a guy that I'm comfortable with there. And, you know, even if he's figuring out his bat, we've seen the power that he can bring. We've seen that he has the pop to his bat. So once he figures it out, gets his average a little bit up. And by the way, average is the problem across the league right now. A lot of people are pushing for us to shrink the strike zone down to let it be shorter and wider because we're having record low this year with the pitches at the top of the strike zone that, you know, you get it 94, 95 miles per hour, which almost everyone throws now. It's almost unhittable.
I know. Isn't that really glorious? I think that's great. And yeah, it is almost unhittable. I get it. And then on top of it, we want to digitize things. We touched on this a little bit last week about digitizing, you know, getting rid of that guy, that ominous guy standing behind the camera.
That Kikuchi game, it absolutely should happen. Kikuchi was getting ridiculous calls all day long. And he pitched a gem going seven innings of shutout ball against the Astros. Man, so many of those pitches, especially when you can during the game, I'll do this a lot of times if I'm listening and baby sleeping on my chest, I'll pull up the MLB app where you can see where the pitches are located. They'll put the pitch on the screen in the box and you're like, they called that a ball?
They missed an unusual number last night. That's for sure.
They called that a ball? It really shows, and you know, I've gone back and forth on it a lot because it takes the human element out of the game a little bit. It takes the pitcher's skill at pitch framing out of the game. But at the same time, if you have a way that you can get rid of the egregious calls and make the game more about the pitcher's ability, you know, make the game more about the hitter's ability to have the good eye and less about the catcher's ability to fake out the umpire behind him and the umpire just not having eyes on their head or something. I don't like being blind. Like Was Ray Charles back there calling the zone?
Ray Charles wouldn't have missed those pitches.
Oh, guys, while we're still lingering on Major League Baseball, we talked American League. I just wanted to give everyone just the update on the National League. West, Giants and Dodgers. Right, one and
correct.
Two.
Hey, the Giants are another team. I mean, there's another division leading team. The Mariners took two out of three from. So,
yep. So there you go. Brewers, Cardinals, and Pirates. If I remember right, in the Central. And then the National League East: Braves, Phillies, Mets.
And no one over 500 in the NL East.
Where are the Yankees in all of this? Anyway.
We do have some other news that we need to talk about with the Mariners. We've had there's some good things about our starting pitching right now. It's unfortunate James Paxton went out early.
Yeah.
Mark Avich is now on the injured list. Fortunately, LJ Newsome looks really good when he came in long relief. He looks to get the spot start there. But Marco Gonzalez is now on the 10-day IL.
That's
he started
be a big
to come back
hit.
To form. That's a big hit. And man, I've said this before. I was talking to Shannon Dreyer a little bit about it on Twitter, and it is going to test their patience with some of their prospects. Because, you know, we've talked a lot about Logan Gilbert, who looks to come up this year, but they have a plan for him. They want him to get a certain amount of innings in the lower leagues. They want to really work him up, so they don't want to rush him here. They want to get him comfortable before he comes here. They have a plan. They want to stick to it. But, man, it's got to be tempting. Like, you know, we could just slot Logan Gilbert in Marco Gonzalez's spot and give him that spot, start.
I think I am all for the patient approach. I mean, I really want to see Logan Gilbert too, but you know, going into this season, I think Garrick said playoffs and people were excited about possibility playoffs. And like, you know, especially after losing last year, other than 60 games, you've got so many young players coming up. There's going to be some peaks and valleys, and we're seeing with Evan White, he's still working on the bat, but man, I think he's a plus player overall because of his defense. You know, we've seen Taylor Trammell who tore it up in spring training. Man. And now, you know, I mean, he had a game winning home run yesterday. He's hit the ball hard when he's hit it, but he's striking out a lot. Defensive play yesterday was awesome to end the game, you know, but there's just so much youth and it's not all going to work out. And I think banking on all these rookies to try to make a playoff run when you really need to develop them for the long run. So it's like Jared Kelnick, we want him. Well, he's had how many minor league at-bats, Rich?
Less than the required minimum in a lot of people's minds.
Right.
To qualify for a major league, call up.
And while not it's even been, in AAA.
Right,
zero
right.
in AAA.
And while it's, I know a lot of this was previous management regimes and stuff, but there is a long and sordid history of pushing prospects up too soon in this organization.
Mike Zunino.
Mike Zunino, Dustin
Ackley.
You know, there's just there's a lot to lose by pushing.
I'm having
a
flashback, Brent, by bringing up all those names.
One of the reasons that they were willing to do this with Evan White was because of his mental makeup and the fact that they anticipated he would struggle at the bat, but that he was so valuable defensively and mature enough to deal with that until the hitting catches up with the defense. And, you know, when you have a 21-year-old, really confident kid in Kelnick, you don't want his first huge slump to come on the big stage. Let him work some of this out at the lower levels. I'm sure he'll be up this year, but.
And that's fine.
Logan Gilbert, he's stretched out to about 75 pitches, I guess. Do you want to throw a rookie in without any minor league innings this year, who's not fully stretched out for a major league start? I'd rather lose a few games. Understand that this may be a 500 team at the end of the year. I said a while ago, I'd be happy if that happened because you need to do a lot of things this year that you planned on doing last year over the long haul.
Yep.
That's exactly right.
Well, and that's the thing. Go ahead, is Josh. It would be great if we make the playoffs this year, but I'm not selling our future on that. The plan, I think should be next year to really push for the playoffs. This year, you got to figure some things out. Like you said, you know, Mitch Haniger, is his future in Seattle? I got to think so. That guy is back to all-star game-changing levels of play. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to see Kyle Lewis do it again this year, who is coming back from that injury. You want to see if he can continue to be center field of the future.
And it's not just the agains, Josh. It's the, as you guys were opining, it's the, in the words of Disney, a whole new world. We've got a whole new slew of players and a higher level of expectation, faster, harder. I mean, more accurate. It is getting crazy, but I want to revisit, some kind of breaking news. I don't know if you guys heard the news about Blue Jays Hall of Famer Roberto Alomar. He was terminated by Major League Baseball and put on the ineligible list after sexual misconduct and an investigation that resulted. So, another one bites the dust.
Another black eye for Major League Baseball, unfortunately.
And for sports, you know, these things yeah. happen, you know, but come on, the silver lining, the good thing is that we live in an age where we're holding people accountable. I mean, come on, how 20 years ago was like a badge of honor to be a skank guy in, you know, professional sports, right? I mean, it was okay. It was joked about in locker rooms. And now it's like, we want to hold ourselves to a higher accountability. So I'm looking for the silver lining here. You know, that's a story worth mentioning.
I think one of the things here, too, that I actually appreciate about this is, yes, he's being held accountable, but this didn't play out in the media before the investigation.
No, this was 2014, wasn't it, Rich? 2014 when this.
Yeah.
So that's a long time.
Well, we don't know when the allegations were brought up, do we? I mean, I don't know if they've been investigating it for 7 years. But,
this happened in 2014.
Right.
And it's 2021.
I don't math well,
and I'm still going.
I get that. But I'm just saying this hasn't been like the Deshaun Watson thing.
Right.
Every point being played out in the media. This was investigated, and then apparently he was found to have done this stuff. And so then it was announced, as opposed to playing it out public, the whole thing publicly.
There you go. Okay. Anything else, guys?
When you're a professional league, you got to take care of things professionally. And it looks like Major League Baseball for once took care of an issue in the proper manner. And Rob Manfred should learn from this situation and be a more professional commissioner all the way around.
All right, guys, it's time. I can wait no longer. That's right. It's time. I don't want to play too much because YouTube will say that, you know, there's copyright infringements. Yeah, I don't know. But the NFL draft, I love the draft. And guys, for me, watching the draft is, especially this year, in our ever expanding story as the pig skin spins. It was a real drama of interest, of human interest last night. I always love watching the draft. I told a number of people yesterday that the draft, to me, the best part of the draft is watching these young guys surrounded by their families and the people that love them sitting on their couches. My favorite ones are when they're at home, you know, and you can see the spread of food that mom made in the background and everyone talking and they're on their phones. And then it's announced that they're going to be, that they're picked, and that elation and and even some of the words that people will say. I just find it really precious. I think it was, I'm trying to remember, Gregory.
I was thinking of DK Metcalf a few years ago.
Yeah.
When DK Metcalf like completely broke down on the phone talking to Pete Carroll. I mean,
that was just precious.
Thankful and grateful he was. That was one of my favorite draft moments ever.
I think it was Gregory Rousseau. I don't remember how to say his last name, but I know he was the he's a defensive end and the Bills 30th overall pick, if I remember. But I was watching last night.
Correct.
Thank you, Rich. I was watching last night as he was talking and saying, first of all, I want to give glory to God, and talking about how thankful he was. And just that beautiful, that we talk about the bad stories and the sexual allegations and the assaults. We talk about that, but for every one of those, there's a dozen stories of character, of overcoming, of gratitude that I think makes the sport to me. So I've talked enough about what I love about the draft, but boys, there is some drama going on in the draft. And can we just get to the biggest, the big one, get that out of the way. Are you kidding me? Aaron Rodgers, shut up. Yeah, there I said it. I'm sorry, Aaron Rodgers fans. I just said it. Come on. I don't want to go back there. I don't like them anymore. Well,
after what we've as fans kind of endured in Seattle this year with the whole Russell Wilson.
I know. I don't want to go through this again.
Which pretty much died off. And then watching this happen on draft day is just a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and so we're Green Bay, we feel you. We feel you. We've been there. We got you. We feel you.
It's pure sports hate here. It's like, I am so happy.
Yeah,
we'll be talking about this all summer.
Aaron Rodgers
Wait, just a minute. We get our reverend of sports not here to kind of hold us accountable, and suddenly you guys go off the rail. Y'all need prayer.
Probably.
That's what happens when the pastor's away.
Well, see, and here's the thing, though. There's a big difference. Russell Wilson is, I think, a good guy with a bad agent, because if you go back and look at it, 99% of all of the drama was just his agent saying stuff.
Yeah, Mark Rodgers now works for Aaron Rodgers.
Doesn't he even spell his last name the same as Aaron Rodgers?
Well, and if you go back, the only thing Russell Wilson said is he's tired of getting hit, you know, but he also said in that same interview, I hope I play for the Seahawks for the rest of my career, hopefully, you know. And if you look at what he's done on Twitter since then, he's celebrated guys come to Seattle. He's talked on the phone with people like Carlos Dunlap before he was signed. He said, I'm still going to be here. Carlos Dunlap signs a multi-year deal with the understanding Russell Wilson's going to be here. Russell Wilson's
exactly.
The difference is Aaron Rodgers is just a bad person. Like, he's not a good guy.
What? I can physically feel our listeners from that region of the United States.
I have friends in Wisconsin. I have Packers fans, but it's true though. I mean, like, he has really pushed away his family. He has this family that is Christian. They love God, and he is ridiculous about Russell Wilson and his faith and makes fun of it. He is a total hypocrite. He gives up on his team. And we saw that last year, MVP season, playoffs come and it's not going his way. And he just kind of like stops playing football. And he's been having this drama with his front office for the last 5 years. You know, he's not like a cool, chill dude that you want to like have dinner with.
Gosh, Josh, you know, if I could, I like you a lot, Josh, you know, I love you. But one of the things that I would like, just constructive criticism, if you could just say it like it is, you know, stop holding back.
I'll try.
Now, I'm going to say this. I'm going to share a story. Aaron Rodgers himself, now you were talking about, you know, he makes fun of faith and all of that. And
go host Jeopardy.
He has. Cool. And we'll talk about that too. But in his own words, I'm going to pull up a story. He said, we say the Lord's Prayer before every game. He said, there's a prayer circle in our locker room at every game. As a team, there's probably 40 of us who are holding hands and saying, hey, God, keep us safe. But on the other side, there's people doing on the same thing. Is he punishing our team because we don't win, or is he giving, or is he glorifying us with the win? That's what he says he was saying. You know, you were talking about the Russell Wilson thing, but that doesn't deter you, does it?
No, that's an excuse for Aaron Rodgers to be narrow-minded in his own way and to criticize people whenever he feels like it.
Okay, what about Jeopardy?
Well, he looked good in the suit.
I like him better hosting Jeopardy than pretty much anything else. So
yeah, his State Farm commercials aren't too bad either.
Okay, you know,
but we have Kermit the Frog in those now, so we don't need him anymore.
But you know what, the public persona doesn't always match what happens in the locker room. That is for sure.
But let's really talk about Aaron Rodgers.
Patrick Mahomes is a good person. I like him.
Yeah. Let's really talk about Aaron Rodgers for a second. You know, he has criticized Green Bay management for not getting him a wide receiver and not listening to some of the ideas that he has for the offense or ideas for the franchise.
Is that fair?
Well, just two years ago, he had the worst season of his career before rebounding and becoming the reigning MVP. What are you supposed to do as the Green Bay Packers franchise? Wait until Aaron Rodgers retires before you draft a quarterback and draft his successor. Your job is to play your very, very best as the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. And you've played 16 seasons. And Aaron Rodgers evidently has a very short memory. When Brett Favre was an icon as the Green Bay Packers quarterback, they had no problem with getting drafted by the Green Bay Packers. Same situation.
He had the problem that the 49ers didn't take him. That was his problem.
Well,
you know who did take the 49ers?
This was my conspiracy I was waiting for, though. I was waiting for the 49ers to trade their third pick for Aaron Rodgers, and then for Aaron Rodgers to retire immediately after being traded, just as a last, like, you should have picked me.
You know what's funny too is that that's another factor. He could retire at any moment and then they are out of luck. But you mentioned the 49ers. You know who the 49ers did pick? Trey Lance. And we had, Mac Jones went to the Patriots.
Going to the Patriots, yeah. I think
Justin
that's the best
Fields
pick.
Went to that's... the Bears. We had some big Alabama. Wow, they had
Alabama in the first round. That was always the Alabama Crimson Tide first round.
Yeah. Well, we've always said that, you know, we even questioned at times whether or not they could compete with an NFL team. I mean, you have that many
first
round.
Yeah, a couple years ago, they could have beaten the Browns.
As you know, I mean, obviously a college team is going to have guys that aren't NFL players at all. But with the number of first round picks on that team, it's no wonder at the college level they've been so dominant.
I think Josh and I could coach that team.
Yeah. But could you recruit those guys? That's the question.
Do you know what else was?
Yes, I could, I think. I would just say, can you help the guy in the wheelchair score three touchdowns?
You know what else was kind of interesting? Because there were some familiar names, some very familiar names that were part of the drama of the first draft day. And that was not just Aaron Rodgers, but Tim Tebow. Guy, you can't keep a good man down. What the heck? He's working out
finally
with
doing
Jacksonville, which, you know, to me, this is with Jacksonville already taking on Trevor Lawrence in their day one, mm-hmm. and then Tim Tebow and some of the other Alabama players. There was at least two, if I remember.
You
have right.
Travis Etienne from Clemson, the running back, too. So drafting Clemson teammates will be interesting.
That's a very, very smart move, Brent. The way I looked at that, you've got Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne.
Can we add one more? Wasn't it from Washington State Huskies, Joe Tryon?
Washington. Joe Tryon goes to the Buccaneers.
Oh, it was I'm sorry, University. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Joe Tryon.
Yep, UW.
Okay.
He was a Husky who opted out COVID opt out last year, so we had actually seen him play for the Huskies for 2 years.
And he's going to be reunited with Vita Vea. That's going to be a great combination.
I want to talk about Tebow. This is kind of an interesting thing.
Yeah, he's just doing what people have been telling him to do since he lost his quarterback job. People have been saying come back as a tight end because the guy has had freaky athletic talent.
He does.
And he just didn't have a good throw. You know, he had that long windup that he could move around enough to get it out. And, you know, he was fun to watch, but he was not the best quarterback. People said come back as a tight end. Yep. Now here we are. And we'll see if he still has the athletic ability. I'd be interested to see. And it would be fun to see him on a Jaguars team where imagine him as a tight end and then doing some package where toss it to the tight end hucks it down the field. You know, they could do some, some cool trick plays with him.
We'll find out real quick if at age 33 he really still has it or if this is like a personal favor from Urban Meyer.
Well, I don't think this is a personal favor from Urban Meyer because I have talked with some people who have talked to Urban Meyer and kind of gotten inside of his head and how he works. He loves his guys. This is part of building the Jacksonville Foundation. Get guys that will follow my system, will be my leaders on the team. Trevor Lawrence is a follower of Christ. I don't know where Travis Etienne is in that mix, but he's going to be the security blanket for Trevor Lawrence. Then you've got Trevor Lawrence and Tim Tebow working as teammates. Urban Meyer's laying the foundation of this is how we're going to run our team. This is the culture that we're going to have.
And the culture isn't so much of exclusion because of faith. It's more of a standard because of faith.
Excellent point there, Michelle.
That's the difference. That's really the difference. I think it's time for me to make a quick switch here in the hat department and hat hair and talk about the Seattle Seahawks. Now, first of all,
well, before we get on the Seahawks, we should mention the big things about the draft for the people that actually drafted.
Okay. Let's do that.
So the big one for us is the number 3 overall pick in Trey Lance. Now that goes to the 49ers and that guy, he shows that he has a lot of talent. I don't think we're going to see him for a year, maybe two.
He is as raw as gets.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's look. Where did he play again? North Dakota State. Who did he beat?
The best FCS football program in America.
But he played one game. He played one game this year.
Yeah, you know who they beat in the quarterfinal for the NCAA FCS? It was Sam Houston. Have you ever heard of Sam Houston before? That's a school. That's the name of the school.
I think they made the NCAA basketball tournament in 1987 or something.
There you go. Yeah. So I don't think we're going to see him.
I think I dated Sam Houston. Is that? Never mind.
Your ex is Sam Houston. Yeah. So I don't think we have to worry about that. But what I think is going to end up being the upset of the draft, and I don't think it's because he's incredible, has some incredible athletic talent. I think that at 15, Mac Jones going to New England, I think that is the perfect spot.
I'll tell you one better, Josh. Justin Fields going to the Chicago Bears, they may have the best quarterback in the NFC North by the end of the season because Justin Fields is going to have to play from day one. And there were a lot of people that said he was the second best choice of the entire draft next to Trevor Lawrence. And we're going to find out because Matt Nagy needs to save his job. And so does the general manager of the Chicago Bears.
If the Bears don't destroy them because they're an awful franchise, then Justin Fields has the chance at a really good career. If they don't just totally tear him down as a person.
I think one thing I like about that pick for the Bears too, organizational dysfunction aside, is here's a guy that played in the Big Ten, has played in those types of venues, the cold weather venues. So playing in Chicago by the lake is not going to be a big adjustment for him. It's surprising.
Change. Yeah, okay. That's a factor.
It makes a difference. Now, the thing is, with Fields, I mean, I think he's got a great potential, but he also has proven to be erratic at times. So coaching is going to be a big decision or a big factor with him. I think with the thing with Trey Lance, I think huge upside, deep basement. They just really don't know. And it's going to be up to Kyle Shanahan to make the ceiling happen. I think that also means we're going to see Garoppolo this year because
until he breaks, until they give me interceptions.
So maybe game two, but
okay. But really though, I mean, think New England and Mac Jones, have they won with for the last couple of decades? It wasn't a super mobile quarterback. It was Tom Brady, who, his pick that is, he's a quick thinker. He makes good decisions on the field. Athletic. He doesn't have an amazing arm with a deep ball. He's never been a deep ball guy. That's never been his top strength. It's that he's a processor. He knows how to follow the system. He's accurate. And Mac Jones is the perfect guy for Bill Belichick. And I think it's the best place he possibly could have landed.
Yeah. Mac Jones will play because Cam Newton, as much as I love the guy, he can't stay healthy now. He can't stay healthy now.
I thought maybe he could come back, but you look at even his throwing motion, his shoulder's done. I think that if he stays in the league, it's probably going to end up a position change. I think he's going to try quarterback another year or two. Then he's going to have to face a decision like Tim Tebow. Are you going to retire or are you going to come back, maybe play tight end, maybe be running back? Because he still has ability, but I don't think his shoulder can give us the deep ball or the accuracy anymore that he once did.
I don't know if I feel recognized. I don't know, but what I still want to know what the heck the thing is with the hair thing that he does.
We can't talk about his fashion here. Oh. That's not something that I am prepared to talk about. We need
we have a woman on this round table. Fashion is going to come up.
I need to let us know ahead of time. If we're going to do fashion, specifically of Cam Newton, if we're going to do his fashion, we need some notice to mentally prepare for the kind of discussion that has to happen around what that guy wears day in, day out.
All right. Guys, really emotional.
We're talking about Russell Wilson's dad bod outfit or something. We could do that, but not Cam Newton. I'm not ready.
The Michelle Mendoza draft update by hair.
I wanted to get to the Seahawks. We're going to have, first of all, before I get to the ins and outs, I do want to point out that we're going to have the smallest draft class in our whole history of our franchise.
Maybe.
I mean, no, well, so far, we have, three picks, right? Our lowest was in the mid 90s, if I remember right, Rich, with
94,
97,
right.
If I remember right, we had five, but we have
three picks,
round two, number 56, round four, 120.
Number 120, number 129, and number
seven,
250.
Pick. Yeah.
Number 250.
It's just, wow. It's not a really exciting thing, but here's something that you guys are going to have to help me understand. I was in Houston, I was in Texas, and I met some really great people, and one really spectacular person that I will leave unnamed hates the Seahawks. Is that possible? I mean, what's wrong with that? I mean, is it?
Well, if I had to watch the Texans every week, I might hate the Seahawks too.
I think he's a Cowboys fan.
Well, if I had to deal with Jerry Jones every week as the head of my team, I might hate the Seahawks too.
I don't know. We're not going to diss our listeners. I just don't understand it. I think, maybe there's a misunderstanding there, whatever it may be. But
Seahawks, it's because he wants to get people like KJ Wright on his team, but he realized that KJ Wright doesn't have the felony stats to make it onto a Cowboys roster.
Oh, my gosh. You're welcome.
Did you miss me?
Reverend Garrick, we need you.
You know what he's actually upset about is the fumbled extra point by Tony Romo against the Seahawks from years gone by. He still can't get over it. He still has nightmares.
Yeah. Okay, just a minute.
Michelle and I were there when Tony Romo's career ended, by the way. We were sitting right at the line when KJ Wright ended that man's career.
Yeah.
He's been better as an announcer than he was a quarterback.
That's true.
We felt
that's
it.
Started
felt
his new it. Career.
But
yeah,
come on,
Tony Romo, the most famous quarterback that never won a playoff game.
Oh, wow.
What about Andy Dalton?
In Seattle, we have our own issues. It's hard to be Steelers fans, right? I mean, we still hold a grudge there. It's just part of the fun in sports. But what the glory is that we often talk about, and I'm gonna redeem us from probably the most vicious show we have ever done. All we need to do is talk about past leaders in the NCAA, and then we've put ourselves over the top. But I think the one thing, though, is that we talk about these rivalries. We can be like, oh, I just can't. But when it comes down to it, we all have something in common. We're playing on that field. We salute, we sing and salute and sing the national anthem. And that's why I think those things are so important. That's why politics don't belong in sports, because we need one place where no matter how grievous we feel and how much we just can't stand that team, that's where we can all come together. We can still be friends at the end of the day. Having said that, guys, for Seahawks fans, it's not a very exciting draft.
No, but well, you know what? There's some exciting news about it. Is we have Jamal Adams, first round pick,
and that was why we gave up our first round pick for Jamal, didn't we?
For this year and next year, and I believe our third round selection.
It'll be
as well,
like
so.
What 2050 until we actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? That's all right. I think I said this before, if you guys remember, a while back, and it was all but confirmed in the recent interview with John Snyder and Pete Carroll. They were kind of playing 4D chess. You know, they said that they were looking at it, and they said, you know what? With COVID happening and, you know, ball games not being played as much or limited contact, that if we're going to give up these picks, it should be now and not later, because these years they're not going to produce right away as well as they might in other years. So I think they said like, we're going to do this year, looking at where we are with the pandemic and everything, that we're going to make these trades now. And so it was a calculated decision, like, we're going to get up these first round draft picks, which are at the end of the first round, in a year where they're really not worth as much as they might otherwise be. Not that there's not talent, but there's guys that wouldn't have played full seasons. A lot of guys that have opted out, not being able to bring people into your facility and work them out, having the same contact with the players. So not having the same quality of information about guys. So there's a reason they did it. And I like it. You know, I dig it.
I'm going to roll with it. And yeah. I know that the Seahawks are still moving and shaking. They signed Robert for the defensive line. So that was
Robert Camdichie, I think, is what you were trying to say there, Michelle.
I thought I said it just fine. What's your problem?
It was just a little static there.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
Well, Robert Camdichie, very good athlete, highly sought after coming out of high school, went to Ole Miss, freak of an athlete, got a chance with the Cardinals. Things didn't work out. He has really crushed the latest workout with the Seahawks. This guy is a freak of nature, about 6'4 and a half, 6'5. And he just adds to the mix once again on the defensive line. Seahawks know where their shortcomings are. John and Pete are going to pull some magic on the second day. And this also gives the Seahawks a chance with only three draft choices. That means we're going to see a lot of free agents. A lot of free agents are going to get a shot that wouldn't normally get a shot because of the circumstances of this NFL season. And I take John and Pete up against any general manager coach tandem in the league when it comes to evaluating free agents. What do you think, Josh?
Well, we've seen that in the past, Josh.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I don't know. I'm okay with us giving up these picks because of what the reason they said, and looking deeper into it, you know, like, who else do we have? We have Carlos Dunlap, who we gave up, I think, our fifth round selection. Is that right, Rich?
Correct. And you can blow picks. You can have the number one pick in the draft and still blow it. Just ask the New York Jets how many times they have blown high draft choices. I mean, the New York Jets have not won a Super Bowl since Super Bowl III. And to put this in historical context,
great franchise.
The New York Jets won a Super Bowl before we went to the moon.
That's about the last time the Mariners were in the playoffs, Josh.
Right. Yeah.
Just kidding. My bad.
Yeah, I it'll be interesting to see if they do trade back that second round pick but I think it depends on, again, so much depends on what's available and what your priorities are. I wouldn't mind seeing a cornerback getting drafted, but you know, I kind of with you, Josh, it's like, A, The talent evaluation this last year clearly will have suffered. And I've also been reading, you know, that while the top of this draft class is pretty strong, especially at quarterback, there's not necessarily a lot of depth, like depth that you know is there. So I also think because of that lack of information about so many players, that it will make the undrafted free agents pool. I think there'll be a few more finds there than we have in most years too. And like you said, Rich, man, that you can go down the list of the years, and it seems like every year or two, the Seahawks find one of those guys that everybody missed on that turns into a star or close
and
to.
And don't forget, we're also looking at the reboot of the XFL next year, which is a really great place to watch and develop unsigned talent.
Good point, Michelle. Yeah. Good point. Very good point.
I had a good point. Good for me. Here's a question of the day. Yeah. Question of the day. What does the NFL and the MMA have in common with the Seahawks?
I think it's some guy named Marshawn Lynch.
Beast mode. The MMA is about to go beast mode on y'all. Come on.
Yeah, Marshawn's going to be an investor and marketing team member for the Professional Fighting League. And
I'm here for it.
Who else? Who else do you need? I mean, what a great ambassador.
He can do no wrong. Whatever Beast Mode wants to do, you know, you go get it, fam. Get your money. I love that guy. Every time I see him do anything, it's great. It's never not entertaining, you know. You might have to, you know, make sure your kids aren't watching because he might have a little bit of foul mouth, but every interview sincere. He does, it's fun.
And it's him.
And I don't know how many times.
He's a good guy.
I don't know how many times I've used the line. I'm just here so I don't get fined. That's so iconic.
Classic.
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. I think I texted you, Josh, when last time Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch was in Seattle where I live, and I am just walking down the street and I'm looking at in the back of a truck. There's people on bicycles, and there's a Beast Mode. There has been a Beast Mode store near the stadium. I'm kind of walking by it, and I look in the back of the truck, and there's Marshawn. I'm like, I'm pointing at him. He points back to me, and he tosses me down something and says, "Hey, girl." I'm like, "All right, we're friends now." Yeah, I'm Beast Mode.
Oh, he knows how to market himself. But I'll bring up one point that you said, Michelle. He is sincere about what he markets.
Yeah.
He is. And that's more than I can say for a whole lot of people. He is sincere about what he markets.
Yeah. If he wants to come back and play for the Seahawks again, you know, if he just wants to go out there geriatric, I don't care. I love Beast Mode. Whatever he wants to do.
He can have a walker and he's still going to do some.
And be like, let's do it. Let's get you in QB. Toss the ball, Beast Mode. You do it.
I love you. That's great. Hey, quick question as we're coming to the end of our broadcast today. Looking at Tokyo and the Olympics, there's COVID testing. We talked last week a little bit about some of the protections for people who want to break the rules and get all political, which the Olympics have kind of said, hey, can we just keep this, you know,
we're going to just keep one ourselves world, in check world, here.
Yeah. But there's a lot going
on
there.
Good luck with that.
I know. I wanted to kind of open that up for discussion, boys.
Well, real quick, athletes are going to be tested daily, and people closely associated with the athletes are going to be tested daily. They have come out with a second rule book for all of this. And Japan has over 10,000 deaths from the COVID-19 vaccine. They have outlawed spectators from outside. So according to the Japanese public, about 70 or 80% of the Japanese public says that the Olympics shouldn't be held in Japan. But I think the organizers, they just got to do it because of all the preparation that they've put in.
How much money? Oh, my! They'll never, ever get that back, ever.
Oh,
there's no way. There's just no way, at least with current rules and such.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting Olympics. And I think I'm just going to be praying for safety for the athletes. is what I'm going to be praying
now,
for.
Are there going to be big groups of people together protesting the fact that we're doing the Olympics?
If they are, they're probably not going to be the actual Japanese citizens. I mean, you just don't you get the objections, but it's done in a rather much more orderly fashion than we're used to in the U.S.
Yeah. Yes, I would agree with that, Brent. The word orderly in United States politics does not go together.
What more can you say? What more can you say? All right, guys, it is about time for us to wrap things up. And what we do at the end of the program, we take a wait. I have a question before we do this. Josh, when are we going to see the baby?
At some point.
All right. She's a cutie. She may be one of the cutest babies ever.
Joe Biden political answer. Yeah, right?
No. His answer is.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yours could be too right about now, probably.
I swear, guys, the funniest thing, I laughed out loud and I shared this. Now, I'm not here to be politically divisive or anything. I just thought it was funny, regardless if you're Democrat or Republican. But I shared it. I shared the sentiment with people in the Seattle area, and it got a flat response. But this was something that someone had posted on Facebook, and it basically said, Joe, maybe you should just turn the monitor around so that we can read it and be easier to understand. And I lost it. I thought that was so funny.
That is funny.
It is funny, but it falls flat in the Seattle area. So thank you. You know who you are who put that up. That was good. It's time for our final
shot.
Going around the round table and giving out a final shot or shout out. Let's go to the man that we haven't seen for a while because he's trying to take cat naps in between diapers and such. That's Joshua, our Wookiee of the Year.
Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
I already mentioned him, but I just want to bring up again Sam Haggerty and Kendall Graveman. Kendall Graveman won because he's come in here with such a great attitude. You know, again, I mentioned he was previously the opening day starter for the Oakland A's. We signed him after an injury. He came back at a tumor, and they said, you know, you can't starting pitch. You can't put that on your body anymore. And that's an opportunity. Some guys might come back and say, you know, I still want to try it. You know, I want to do it. They might be mad about that. But he came in and said, you know what, I've accepted it. And there's a great interview of him saying, I have no ego about this. I want to be here for the team. I want to embrace the new role. And by all accounts, he's been an awesome, awesome leader in that bullpen and is killing it this year. Love seeing him here. Hope he's here for a long time. And then also Sam Haggerty, who has come out of relative obscurity to start hitting the ball like nuts. He was the first Mariner to hit the ball out of the ballpark since Ken Griffey Jr. over at the Twins Stadium there. And so that was an exciting thing for, he's a little guy. He's the fifth fastest guy in the major leagues right now by all accounts in his sprint, fifth fastest, but apparently he's hiding some power in there. Yeah. But good news for you, young man, you go out there, you get it. He's getting himself into more playing time with the way he's playing, but yeah, you can't help but be excited about these Mariners right now. So go like Ems.
All right. Let
stop
us
being poor sports out there. You freaking bad baseball fans.
they're just disillusioned.
Let's go to
Encyclopedia Rich.
Encyclopedia. I find this week the Husky men's and women's soccer programs have both qualified for the NCAA tournament that starts this weekend. The women are taking on Liberty, and the men are taking on Grand Canyon University this weekend. So congratulations to Husky men's and women's soccer for getting into the NCAA tournament.
Aha, and Brent.
Yeah. Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker.
My shout out to the Mariners Japanese exchange student. You say Kikuchi, who they signed out of Japan a couple of years ago. And there's been, you know, I think some rumblings about, is he really as good as what people said he was and all that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Boy, that start yesterday. I mean, first of all, the start itself took a no-hitter into the seventh inning and allowed one hit for the game and two very dubious walks, you know, away from really seven perfect innings. And man, did it come at a critical time, even though it's early in the season. And I've talked about what I thought about the Mariners' playoff chances, but you had a situation where they've lost three straight games. They just found out their ace, Marco Gonzalez, was put on the disabled list.
Yeah.
The previous game was one of the few games they've lost where they actually threw the game away. Mm-hmm. And he came up big, in as big an early spot as you could get for a young team like the Mariners. So shout out to you. You say.
All right. My shout out goes to maybe the second funniest thing I saw on the internet, on social media. I'm going to share it with you, but it has a deeper meaning to me. It's a fun sports fact that the Gretzky brothers in hockey hold the NHL record for the most goals scored by a set of brothers, with a total of 2,861 goals. That's amazing. Of which, of course, Wayne scored 2,857.
Right.
And Brett scored a whopping four. Thank you very much. But I say that to say, guys, it's not so much, you know, you do your job, you do what you're supposed to do. You may not be the big goal scorer, but everybody has an important place. And it's not so much how many goals you score, but, you know, when you're on the right team, everything works out. And I want to thank my team of guys. Josh probably had to pop off and go change a few diapers, and that's okay. Or maybe he's nursing. I don't know what he does there, but he's gone with us. But I want to thank all of the guys and the guys who aren't here today that often join our round table. It's all part of being a good team. And we're part of a bigger team, and that's a team that leads us to the cross of Jesus, that gives us something even deeper, that gives us that it spirit to have the ultimate win in the game of life. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, but you always have that enduring spirit of an awesome, loving God as the head coach. And that is what drives us all on Sports Time Out. So if you think the God story is important, will you please, please consider liking us, sharing us, telling people about us, comment. Go to mymichellelive.com. If you go to mymichellelive.com, you can donate to what we're doing. You can even purchase some of the very cool things that we have on there that we can get kickbacks for, and you get really, really great deals on. And specifically, you might even consider some of like Real Bearded Men stuff. We have a bidet, because bidets rock. Anyway, thank you guys for being part of our broadcast.
That was fun. Thanks.
It's always fun, Michelle.
Waiting for that out music. Come on, out music. You can do it. Come on. What the heck? I had a great setup. We were all there. And then what happens?
Faith report.
Yeah, that's right. That's what happened. It's all good. Happy Friday.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.